His rebellion is just as wicked as the others, but no one noticed it until the king's goodness did. What was the result anyway, back at verse 7, of the disrespect of the king's son and his person? See, when they rejected the king's son's banquet, they rejected the king. When you dishonor the son, you dishonor the father. Two things happened. I don't know if you noticed it, but the first thing was, verse 7, judgment. But the second thing was also magnificent. What? Did you notice it? It was a new invitation was extended. The supper was postponed, but not done away with. There will be one. The son will be honored. Now, why are we enlarging on this? Because in the last parable, they slew the son outside the vineyard. And we're good Jews, and we heard Jesus. And some of us there are saved. You know, I mean, we're listening to this parable. He's at the temple teaching, don't you remember? That's where we were in chapter 21, and still are. At the temple teaching, and the leaders come up. So Jesus is surrounded by saved laymen, lost laymen, and lost leaders as he tells these three parables. And we're shocked. He just told us, and the Holy Spirit makes us to understand, he just said he's going to die. What's going to happen to us? This parable answers the question. Oh, that's easy. There is going to be a wedding supper. The kingdom is ready and at hand. But we're going to send out another invitation through a bunch of other people, and it's going to be postponed for a little while, but don't you sweat it, honey. The king's son will be honored. Wait, wait! How can you honor him? He just told us in the parable before, they're going to kill him. The two parables put together teach, imply, and demand a resurrection. Think! If the king's son is going to be put to death, and if the king's son is going to be honored at a great wedding feast afterwards, the king's son is going to have to come back to life. Come Easter morning, they shouldn't be stunned and shocked. They will be, but they shouldn't be. And moreover, the two stories will really mean something to them then. Son of a gun! When everyone comes back and says, he's risen! He's risen! That's what he meant! You got it? You're getting it. Hallelujah. So I want you to understand that this parable is teaching us there really is only one way. And that way is, you must accept the king's garments to come to his wedding supper to honor his son. To refuse dishonors the son. And if you dishonor the son... Well, let's see what happens as we close. Here it is. Verse 12, he said unto him, friend, how camest thou in here, not having a wedding garment? Now, this isn't heaven. This guy isn't getting kicked out of heaven. These are flesh and blood people that are still alive after the battle of Armageddon, and now they're being separated because we're going to have the wedding supper. He came to the supper, but this guy didn't eat. And he was speechless. Lord, you remember a long time ago I taught you that at judgment, nobody falls down on their face before God and begs for mercy. It isn't a cold-hearted God that sends people off to hell or to outer darkness with them pleading for mercy. I want you to observe the principle is very simple. Their guilt and their rebellion and their wickedness is so great. Have you seen the patience of this king? Again and again and again, and waiting and waiting and bidding both bad and good to come. See now, some of the bad came. But the stipulation again was, you still have to receive the wedding gift. And they understood what that took. They understood the implication of it. It was that they must thereby, in receiving it, honor the Son. He was speechless. Well, no pleading, no asking for another chance. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, because many are called. And in this story, the word many means the many. Everybody. Many are called, even bad and good, but only few are chosen. In this story, many were called, but only few were chosen. Who were chosen? Those that accepted the invitation to the wedding feast, which included the acceptance of the garment, which is part and parcel of honoring the Son and receiving the Son. There is no such thing as receiving the garment without receiving the Son. Now, I've got to close with this thought. When that guy showed up, it was a big crowd. he might have thought in such a crowd there was safety in numbers. Now you listen to me. I mean, with all these people here, surely no one will notice that I am coming on my own terms, i.e. my self-righteousness. I'm coming to God my way. See, the issue is there really just one way? And that's what we're trying to establish, yes. And the way we come is God does it all. Invites, sends people to invite, furnishes the wedding garment, furnishes the feast, does it all. Our job, just receive. But you're accountable for receiving. But suddenly, he is stunned that in this enormous crowd, the king finds him and singles him out, nose to nose, face to face, one on one. Now, those of you in this room tonight that have never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to tell you something. You think because at your church there's thousands of people or hundreds of people, or all over Houston there's millions of people, or all over Texas there's millions of people, or all over the world there's millions of people, and that since time began there's been billions of people, you think, and it's a lie, that there's safety in numbers. That you'll never be noticed in all this crowd. But I want you, it's my duty as a servant of God, to tell you, you were bidden to the supper, your own personal private invitation. Even so tonight, repent and come to the supper. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who is athirst come and drink of the waters of life freely. But I want you to see that this man was singled out one-on-one with the king himself. No longer is he dealing with delegated authorities. See, that's the trouble. Some of you think that you only have to deal with me or with Lee or with your local preacher or with your mother, some delegated authority that represents God. But I'm trying to show you tonight that's not true. There's coming a moment that you are going to face him and he is going to ask you a question. And if you have not accepted that garment, you'll have no reply. It'll be the most devastating moment of your life. And I'm telling you that to remind you that it doesn't have to happen. It does not have to happen. The choice is yours. What are you going to say? We're too busy? It's a simple story. It has historical application. It has future application. And it has application in this room right now. You've only got a little while longer. The wedding supper has been postponed, and the reason is more people are being invited to attend, good and bad. But the time is at hand. I'm going to dismiss you with a word of prayer. Those of you that have never accepted Jesus as your Savior, you need to do that tonight. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to encourage you. You don't know that you've got another moment to live. Rather than the king saying, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? Wouldn't you rather him say, hi, boy, I like that garment I gave you, huh? Do you hear me? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for pinning these and for revealing to us the finale of the story. We were nervous, Father, that they had slain our Savior in the last parable. But now we know that you are determined and going to honor him. And as his bride, us, we thank you, Lord, for showing us our future. In Jesus' name, amen.